Hello.
We're here. We're setting up. Poor Yanni had a little bit of a cough earlier with a mouthful of coffee. So we had a little bit of a coffee explosion. Yeah, woo. Speaking of coffee.
Speaking of coffee, Renee Coffee.
Congratulations, I suppose, to our new member, Renee Coffee.
Yeah. It's the day after the election. And we're here to do a little mailbag episode. Oh my gosh. And I'm here to adjust my chair.
She's doing great, everybody.
We're here to do a little mailbag, and then we're going to cover the ABC election show, which was, how would you put it? Let's do it. Give a little preview for the free episode listeners, you freeloaders. no, but how would you put it? It was bitchy.
I had a really good time.
It was so
much
fun.
I was not ready for how much fun we were going to have. We put it on because we're like, okay, yeah, you know, we talk about politics.
We have a political podcast.
We should probably pay attention to what's going on. Put on the coverage, and I was a little bit shocked.
Yeah, there's
the temperature on the panel.
Oh my god,
was
in
wild.
One very specific direction.
In one
as
very
well.
Specific
it was
direction.
They had a whipping boy. They had a whipping boy. To hear our thoughts about that, which will probably go beyond the polite society we try to keep ourselves in. You'll have to go to the Patreon. Shouldn't have said that feed. That's what we called it. We've got a couple episodes up there. You can support the show. It's something along the lines of $5 a month. And, you know, send me a message and I can see if I can make it lower just for you. I don't think I can, but that means you've engaged with me. And as a marketer, that means, you've already lost.
Play right into our hands, I beg you.
So we're going to go to our mailbag. Obviously, it's all about the election. Got in touch with a couple of patrons overnight, asking them, you know, what they'd be interested in hearing us talk about. We hear from Amanda. She's obviously, you know, she didn't, along with many people, I guess we should say it. So obviously the election went pear-shaped.
Oh yeah, I guess we should just briefly in
you
case,
all know what happened.
In case you didn't know what happened, the Liberals got fully fucked.
They got fully
Labor
fucking,
really like
Labor really fucked their uncles on this one.
They really fucked their uncles
really
on this
fucked
one.
Their, I don't really have any other way of putting it other than every single male relative of a Labour Party member was fucked.
Yeah, absolutely dominated.
Because of, here we've got the map up.
Labour is Liberal father or whatever.
So the numbers right now, which is 2 minutes ago, you have 85 to Labour, 37 to Liberal, none to the Greens, which, you know, we're very
this
sad
is
about.
Personally devastating.
We no longer live in a Greens electorate.
Yeah, that's pretty, Max, I'm so sorry, man. That sucks.
We thought we would bring more green. We're from Canberra. It's like we're making the electric greener.
You know?
Turns out,
wrong.
Made it redder. 10 others. So, most important thing, Peter Dutton, no longer. So funny.
See you later, Peter. Look.
I think it's really funny that we have a tiered system where, you can be the loser but stick around. But every once in a while, the loser gets kicked the fuck out.
You know?
Because, his own people turn against him. And that's what happened.
Which is a delicious narrative.
Very funny that that's what happened. And Manny goes on to say, I wonder if the Liberal Party has any relevance anymore.
Well, I think that's a really interesting question. And it's something we've certainly seen at the election that's just happened, plus, the election that happened previously, 2022?
22, yeah.
The decrease in Liberal support, I feel like we see a lot more for the, more right-wing parties. We see more One Nation. We see more Nationals.
Yeah.
We see less Liberal because those Liberal votes are either going that direction or they're going in the direction of the Teal independents.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of a more progressive Liberal. So the Liberals are kind of they're sitting in this weird, in my opinion, this weird position where they're not right or left enough of the right. And so people are just making a decision and making a choice and being no.
Yeah, and even
you're
when
not
people,
doing either thing.
Even when people are voting for the Liberal Party, they're putting the Labour Party second.
Yeah.
And that, what that voter means is
I would like a government, please.
I'd like to continue the two-party system as long as possible.
Yeah.
Which I'm not happy about, but it's what it is. So that's a big part of why the Greens now don't exist in the House of Representatives
Which
anymore.
I do have to say again, that is devastating.
Devastating. Amanda goes on to ask, given that the Queensland National Party and the National Party in general make up most of the Liberal National Party seats, could the leader of the opposition come from either of those parties now?
Ooh.
I think I'm interested to see who it is. I really hope it's Susan Lee. Because she seems fucking wild.
Yeah, so...
She seems wild. There's more things that she says that I agree with than the average Liberal member. But I don't think that really matters in terms of the Liberal Party. But no. I think she seems fucking fun.
Listeners, I learned about Susan Lee for the first time, like... What, like, Anthony, yesterday, the
Anthony
day before?
Anthony Green told you about her.
No, I wish. I wish. But I remember being like, you and I were talking about, like, you know, oh, haha, what happens if Peter Dutton loses? Who's going to get the Liberals win? Who'll be the Prime Minister?
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, well, who's his deputy? Because I had no fucking idea. And then I saw it was this woman and I was like, I know nothing about her. And then I started reading about her and I was like, what the fuck? So I encourage you to look at Susan's Wikipedia page.
Yeah, there's a lot of things where she's... Especially on, I guess, on sociocultural issues, she's very, like, pro-Palestine, for instance.
Yeah.
On, like, once you get to, like, economic issues, obviously things change.
Exactly.
But that, I mean, that's really
also into, like, some woo-woo shit.
Yeah, which, like, good for her.
You know, everybody's got to have a bit of woo-woo.
We need some more woo-woo shit, but Susan Lee is one person. I wonder if they'll just go for Barnaby Joyce.
Now, here's what I was going to say. I would love the absolute farce of Barnaby Joyce. Barnaby fucking Joyce.
Barnaby motherfucking Joyce.
Being the opposition leader. Are you serious? The man is an alcoholic.
The man is an alcoholic.
He's so fucking red. Like, well, all of the blood vessels in his face have exploded. Like, it's too late.
He somehow got all the negative aspects of being a police officer without actually being a police officer.
You know?
Like, like, without actually, like, having to go and do it.
You know?
You know, at least you've got to say what you will about cops. They leave the house every day.
I suppose so. But that would be really funny. I think having BJ as a opposition leader would be a riot. Like, what? That would be so much fun.
It would be a lot of fun. I'm gonna say something fucking crazy about Barnaby Joyce, because the man's a ghoul, the man's a gremlin.
Go on.
He comes up over and over again in, like, some other stories that I'm researching, as well as in some stories we've already done, as, like, a weird voice of reason type character,
you know, which is insane.
That is absolutely insane. He seems like an absolute lunatic. You remember when he passed out on the street?
Yeah, in Canberra, just took photos of him because they were like, damn,
you're the
minister's drunk, I guess.
You're one of the most prominent people in the country. You pass out drunk on the street in the capital city, one of the safest cities in the world. And everyone's like, film this man.
Yeah, everyone's taking photos being like, well, just another night.
Like, I think the only way you can beat Albanese is with an alcoholic.
It all comes together.
That being that, the other name that comes up is David Littleproud, the leader of the Nationals. I have little to say about the man.
Yeah, you know what? I know his name. I don't know much about him.
We should open his Wikipedia page and then some other pages at some point.
You know, maybe one day.
Amanda also goes on to say, enjoy your Sunday and may the 4th be with you.
Oh.
It's Star Wars Day.
It is Star Wars Day. And happy Star Wars Day. I hope you aren't Han Solo and you can get layered and Luke at some
tits. And on the topic of tits, we have a question from Zoe. Hey Zoe, how are you going? Just sent this one through actually while we're recording, and this is perfect because this does get to the heart of a conversation that you and I had.
Okay,
so Zoe's question, and this was also my question: what about Anthony Green? Who is he? Where'd he come from? Why is he the guy that calls the election?
Okay, it's insane to me that you didn't know about Anthony Green.
I had no
Green.
Idea. I guess I've never watched the election before.
And because my parents are public servants, or were, because they're now both retired.
My,
like,
dad's a public servant.
Yeah, but like...
But he's not white.
Yeah, you know, my white parents were public servants. And like, I feel like, particularly, like, I don't think it impacted my dad's job very much because he was just in IT. But my mum did work in policy and stuff. So when the election was coming around, she's like, all right, what's the next 3 years going to look like for me?
What am I doing at work?
It could change. Like, the next day, they might get told to scrap everything they'd been working on when the government changes. And she's like, awesome, great news.
Yeah.
Love that for me.
And
so we used to watch, like, the election, and I was pretty interested in it. And Anthony Green was someone who would come out and everyone would just refer to him. To me, he felt like an election wizard. Like, he would just look into the orb of data and be like, I foresee a victory in the seat of Bonner. And it's like, oh.
Election fairy?
The election fairy.
Because that's That's a fun gay man.
He's a little bit slay. Let's be real.
He was eating it up last night.
He was serving.
This gentleman I've never heard before, he was eating it the fuck up last night.
Yeah.
Amazing job. But I have the same questions. Like, where did he come from? Do you know this?
I don't know his history. My understanding is that he is like a notable, like, election political scientist. Like, he, like, does election again, wizard. Like,
yeah, he's like a weird election wizard.
He knows arcane electoral like myths and truths.
Yeah, and he can
like
see into the future. He's like, well, that's, you know, 10% of the votes counted. I'm ready to call it. And then it's just like right underneath, it's breaking news.
That was a really good moment because he said it so like unconfidently. And the report basically, so the two hosts of the panel,
David Spears and a lady,
yeah, I don't know,
they didn't look good, neither of them. Had a good fit.
They both had bad fitting suits. That's another thing I want to comment on.
We are
going to
talk about the fashion. We're going to talk about the fashion on the Patreon.
Amazing. Okay. Well,
to the Patreon. We are
sign up for that because yeah, we're going to have
a real conversation about Annabelle Crabb.
We are. And we're going to ask some of the uncomfortable questions, some of the things that people maybe don't want to talk about.
We're going to talk about if she's her arm. But moving on from Annabelle Crabb. Yeah. So the two hosts are trying to prod him into...
Yeah, basically, that was so weird. In between, and this is also something we'll get into, in between absolutely bullying James McGrath.
Yes, that's so funny.
They were trying to get Anthony to be like, okay, so like, you know, are you calling the election? And he's like, look, I mean, I think it's probably going to be really hard for the Liberals to win a majority and, you know, have government. And they're like, okay, so Labor wins. And he's like... Yeah, I'm just saying, like, yeah, it would be really, really hard at this point with what the data we have now is, it would be so hard for the Liberals to come back. And they're like, okay, so Labor wins? And he's like, yeah, look, I guess, like, I don't know if they'll win a majority or minority government, but at this point, yeah, it seems like they're going to win. And the instant he says it, the headline at the bottom of the screen is like, Labor wins government!
Breaking news, Labor wins government! It's like, wait, because he said it? Wait, because he said it? That's who decides? Why did I vote then?
He was so unsure. It was really good, but he was like, you know, just being like, yeah, I guess, like, look, you want me to say it? Here's the thing. Odds are, yeah.
It
you know?
Seems like it. Like, 9% of the way in or whatever. Like, what? I want to put it out there. As much fun as I had watching it, and we'll talk more about it on the Patreon, I do believe, ideologically, that we shouldn't have this exercise of a broadcast election counting situation with a little wizard who calls it at 10%. Because it just means this is all very strange to... Because... And my reason for saying this is that, like, the votes are all... Like, they all count at the same time. Right? It's all for... I'm just currently playing with Archie, everyone, so I'm going to... There's going to be some crazy noises. Archie, you can't be doing this. Anyway, as I was saying...
Election fairy wizard.
Yeah, there's an election fairy wizard who 10% of the way in calls it. It's just like, well, then why did everyone else vote? And because he says it, it's done. And that's like the guy who everyone asks. But he's not like employed... Well, yes, he's employed by the ABC, but he's not like a governmental officer. He's just like a weatherman looking dude.
Yeah. And it's great. He's the weatherman of politics. And like, you know,
yeah.
But he's the best one. Like, I think he has been doing it like the most. And I think he has a reputation of being like the most accurate in interpreting results and stuff. Obviously, this round it was pretty easy.
Does he not just have like an algorithm that's doing it on his computer?
I imagine so.
Or whatever?
I imagine like, so. Stop. But because he's cool expert.
Well, how does he become an expert? But he just keeps
doing it, I suppose.
I guess that's the other thing. Like, what he's doing... I think materially isn't real because what he's doing is analyzing the trend of how votes come in over time based on when and where they're cast and the demographics of people who vote at this or that time.
Mm.
And all of those votes count for an election that's like on the same day that's electing government at the same moment.
Mm.
So they don't need to come out in an order that they're counted to the public. There's no reason for that.
No.
Because they all count for the same moment.
Well, I suppose.
And so if, rather than releasing the counting as it goes, you just...
You just want a final result. You don't
you just
want the
want
lead
final
up.
Result.
But then what are we going to bet on? We're just, you know...
That's how people engage with horse racing. They don't watch the horse races.
Exactly.
They just see who won.
Yeah, but this is a very long horse race. Like, this is like a 6-hour horse race.
Yeah, it's a 6-hour horse race, but it's not really because
it's like, would you imagine
the first vote was cast months ago?
You know, so like, this is cricket. This is like, what if they all did cricket and nobody watched, and then at the end they told you who won? It wouldn't be very interesting.
Would it be less interesting? No, wait, sorry, but I'm not here arguing for its interestingness. you're taking me. You're leading me astray. No, I'm here to say that as an exercise, it has no merit in terms of what it means about Australia. Like, it's not like people go vote in the morning and then people are seeing the results and being like, oh shit, Labor's falling behind, I gotta get out there and vote for Labor.
Well, I think it's because also, like, with mandatory voting, like, you know, you already gotta kind of get out there.
Exactly.
I don't think the reaction of what's coming in is gonna impact you.
Exactly. And so then it's like, well, then what is coming in? Why does Anthony have to call it? If it's just like if the numbers are released at the end and I understand that I am a killjoy, but there is no point to this exercise. Because so when we're saying he's like a political genius, scientist, fairy, wizard man, we're saying he knows he has a pretty good understanding of time zones and a pretty good understanding of broad strokes, demographic, this or that leanings across Australian cities. And that's nice. That's cool. But it doesn't mean anything about who won.
Well, like in a Schrodinger's cat kind of way, like Schrodinger's election, like, yeah, you know, the votes are all in the box and like the result is in the box, you know, like it's all in there.
Yeah.
You know, we just need to kind of like open the box and find out which one did the thing.
Yeah.
So I guess this is the process of opening the box.
Yeah. This is as if you have Schrodinger's box, but it's all analyzing the period where the box is going from closed to open,
yeah,
as opposed to when it's closed and open.
Yeah,
it just gets like less a try, less
like opening, and they're like, "Oh my god, I see the cat's foot. Okay, I'm seeing a tail. Not seeing a lot of movement just now. Possibly sleeping. Cats do tend to sleep when it's dark. Not really. They do. They are kind of active, so maybe that's against us here.
It depends what
and
kind
then,
of cat.
You know, we're opening it up. We're seeing. Yep, second foot. This is still a cat. It's looking like a paw. We're going through. All right. What are we seeing?
Is that?
It blinked.
That's a living cat.
Anthony, Labor wins the election.
Anthony, did you see the cat blink? It's like, I mean,
I'm hearing reports that the cat's been blinking.
my phone's blowing up with meows. So that's our thoughts on Anthony Green.
I like him. I'll be honest. I like him. I think he's a charming little guy, and I wish him the best.
I don't have a problem with Anthony Green, but I agree with Zoe's question here of like,
who the fuck is this man, and why is he deciding the election?
Why does he? Because like, again, I want to make really clear that like Anthony Green doesn't actually decide or know anything about politics in his capacity as the guy who tells you how the votes are coming in.
Yeah.
Anyway, so from Clive Palmer, our patron Clive Palmer.
Hey, Clive.
Wants us to chat about, okay, so, you know, obviously, overwhelming majority for Labor, because that feels pretty good. Australia's got their shit together in the, hey, we don't want psychos around.
Yeah.
But also no minority government at all. The House of Representatives have pretty much no Greens representation, probably.
Yeah.
Adam Bant might. I mean, Anthony says Adam's going to squeak through. He's called it. He's called it. Stop the count. And the Senate. So let's talk about the Senate for a second. I haven't even really properly looked at it other than just seeing that I don't think anything really changed. It does seem like, yeah, you've got the same situation where no one has a majority in the Senate. Labor has 28, Liberal has 26, the Greens have 11. Then you have Pauline Hanson, David Pocock, Tammy Tyrrell for Tasmania, UAP, which is, I think, Ralph Babbitt, and Australia's Voice, and another party. So the way the Senate works is that the House suggests policies in the Senate. No, the House goes, okay, we want to do this. This is your high school politics class. The House of Representatives, which Labor now overwhelmingly controls, but that's not really materially different than how it was. Because they already had a majority. Like, them having a majority or a bigger majority doesn't mean anything. It means that if they want to pass a bill, they can very easily get the numbers to get the bill across the line. Then it goes to the Senate, and the Senate can go, yes, we'll do this, or no, we won't do this.
Mm. Kick it back to the House. Exactly. They might do some amendments and then kick it back up to the Senate, and they'll reassess.
And you have three chances.
Yeah.
On the third attempt, if the Senate says no, everything stops. So
yeah, and the government gets dissolved.
Exactly. And that means that the House of Representatives have all the power unless members of the Senate are ready to do the nuclear option.
Yeah.
The buck kind of stops there.
Yeah.
And currently with the Senate as is, so one thing you saw a lot from Labor is that the Greens are stopping us from doing anything. That's whenever the Greens try to exercise like the power that the political system seems to grant them.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really, unless you want to dismantle the government. And if you're a Senate minority party and then you take the blame for dismantling the government, you'll probably never
you'll never enter parliament again.
So it's not super useful, but I'm glad it's there. I guess like, because the other options are, so what can happen now if Albanese wants to get things through? It's kind of the same. It hasn't changed. He can either get things through the Senate if he can get the Greens to also vote for it and like some of those independents, or he can get things through the Senate. Labor can get things through the Senate if they get the Liberal Party to vote for it.
Yeah.
Now this is going to be probably a really differently shaped Liberal Party.
Yeah. Given everything.
They might be amenable to, like, the sort of neoliberal policies Labor might be happy to go for.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the thing is the Liberal Party is going to have to make a bit of a decision on which side of the fence they're coming down on in terms of conservatism and what is going to be the future of the party. Because, like we mentioned before, like, they got fully fucked. Like, they did not... It's rough. It's rough out there for the Liberals.
I'm seeing numbers worst since 1949.
You know, it's not good.
Dutton losing his seat. Very funny. I predicted Dutton losing his seat. Yeah,
you did.
They should have called it. You know? And I'm running for I want to be the person who calls the election.
Yeah, okay, you want to be the new Anthony Green?
I'm not going to abuse that power.
Of course not.
Oh, the first vote I've counted is for Adam Bandt. He's Prime Minister.
Yay, done.
So that's our question for Clive Palmer. And, that you know, well, I mean, I don't know how much I want to do, like, all right, let's learn how the political system works. Because I think every time we do, we kind of get to a point where it's like, oh, so whichever party controls the House of Representatives ultimately wins. And controlling the House of Representatives ultimately... is how much money can you spend on a bunch of individual campaigns across the country?
Yeah, it's a lot of, I think sometimes when it's simplified down, it sounds like quite an interesting political system, like having a two-step verification process, basically. But,
two-factor authentication.
You know, two-factor authentication, like, are you a robot? But yeah, in reality, you're right. There are like bigger consequences to challenging something from the House of Reps when you're in the Senate. That, like, yeah, if you say no enough times, the whole government gets dissolved. Like, there's a double dissolution. That means a snap election, which means everybody's shit is suddenly up.
You're all hearing, like, Archie's toy squeaking, by the way.
Yeah, sorry about that. He's got his big teddy bear, Humongo.
Yeah.
I have Humongo.
But yeah, you have a double, like, whenever they bring that up, people who, you know, were around in the 60s, it sounds like it was the worst day ever. The way they talk about the double dissolution in the 1970s or other.
Yeah, well, we had one in 2016.
But that was like the same year as the election.
It was going to be the election anyway.
So it just became the election, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's oh God, Archie. This is such a choice. All right. All right. Buddy.
We're just going to take a short break to manage our son.
Look, hey, if you want to, we're going to go in on the coverage. That's going to be for the Patreon. If you want to hear us on the Patreon, we're going to hang out with our son for a second, then you'll catch us on the Patreon. And we'll be back on Wednesday with another main episode. I think we'll be starting another series, and then we'll finish the Penny Wong series after that.
Promise.
Find us on Patreon, it shouldn't come. If you want to email us, it shouldn't come at gmail.com. We'd like to hear from you. And if you have anything for the mailbag, we'd love to hear it as well. XOXO Gossip Yanni.
Love yous, boy.